Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church today. My name's Kevin. I am the high school youth pastor here. Thank you to all of our scripture readers. You might have noticed that our scripture reading was pretty long today. This is an ambitious text that I'm jumping into today, and it's a very long story, so I hope you like stories today. That is what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be looking at this amazing and beautiful story. It is Youth Sunday, and we've had a number of our students already involved in the service. I just want to say thank you, North Langley, that we're a church that cares about our youth ministry. I've been a youth pastor for a really long time, and the main reason why I love student ministry so much is because it was actually through my youth pastor, through my youth leaders, through my church's youth ministry that Jesus got a hold of me. And I believe that most people who choose to follow Jesus do so before about the age of 18 or 19. And so what happens in your high school years is so important for your faith formation. And so one of the things that happens with a lot of our grads is they do a gap year. And a gap year is often a year off of school where maybe they go to Bible school or something like Cape and Ray or YWAM. And they actually say that going to Bible school for a gap year is one of the best things that you can do for your long-term spiritual growth. So if you're one of our grads or you're approaching grad or you know someone who's graduating, I would strongly encourage taking a gap year. We're actually in the middle of a series right now called The Wilderness, which is kind of like Israel's gap year, where they were wandering around. They had just come out of Egypt, and they were now in the wilderness, and they spent about 40 years there, but at this time, they didn't necessarily know how long they were going to be there or what was going to happen. And so this gap year, this wilderness, it actually was a series that was chosen by us at North Langley because we're actually in a bit of a wandering in a wilderness right now. Corona has really shut a lot of things down. Our world is very different. We're doing church at home. And sometimes we want to know, like, Lord, when is this wandering going to be over? When is the wilderness, when is the craziness going to come to an end? And I think that a lot of time God teaches us in the gap. He teaches us in the wandering and in the waiting. And so I believe that today and through the season that God actually has a lot to teach us and that God wants to grow in us and have us experience him in new ways. Something cool that I really got to do once when I was 12 years old, I got to go on a cruise to Mexico. Now, no one's going to be cruising anytime soon, but I got to go on a cruise when I was 12, and it was a special cruise. It wasn't a normal one because what was happening was it was called a solar eclipse. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a solar eclipse, but this cruise was full of people that were waiting to see the solar eclipse because it doesn't happen very often. And so Mexico was supposed to be one of the best places in the world to see this solar eclipse. And so our cruise was actually like, astronomy. Sorry, I always get those mixed up. A whole bunch of astronomy nerds were on this cruise ship. So they all had like their binoculars and telescopes and all this fancy looking at the star stuff. And I was 12 years old, and I remember that the day that the solar eclipse was happening, Buzz Aldrin was actually on our cruise ship, and Buzz Aldrin was actually flew to the moon and was like up there with Neil Armstrong with those words. And so I didn't meet him, but I saw him, and he kind of addressed us. And so it was a pretty big deal because of this solar eclipse. Now, what a solar eclipse is, it's when you have the sun over here and the earth over here, and the moon passes directly between them so that it actually blocks out the sun completely. The solar eclipse happened at about 11:30 in the morning on my cruise ship, but it actually felt like about 20 or 30 minutes after sunset when it went by and it blocked out the sun. And you couldn't see the sun anymore. It was actually one of the coolest things I ever experienced. And then this really cool thing happened as the moon started to move just a little bit, something called the diamond ring effect happened, where just a little bit of the sun started bursting forth. And I think I have a picture of this that we can put up there for a second. And so as it moved, just a little bit of the sun starts pointing through, but you can still see the outline. And it's this cool phenomenon known as the diamond ring effect. So this was one of the coolest things that I had ever seen. However, if you've ever seen a solar eclipse, you know that you're actually not supposed to look at the sun. Now, how weird is that? That you get all these people going to see a solar eclipse, paying tons of money to be on a boat in one of the coolest places in the world, but everyone was like, don't look at it. So everyone was kind of like either looking at it through a telescope, or there's this weird thing with like a mirror and looking at it in a box, or there were special goggle binocular things. And so I remember I had these special thick goggles that reminded me of a welding mask that I actually would look up at the eclipse with. And so the eclipse, because you can't look at the sun or it's going to wreck your eyes, it's going to burn out your eyes, it could impair your vision or cause you to go blind. And that was one of the coolest things I had ever seen, but I had to look at it through a filter or a veil or something to protect me from the beauty and the glory of what I was experiencing. That's actually what our text is about today and what our story is about. In Exodus chapter 33 and 34, we look at an amazing story of Moses and God, and Moses experiencing God's glory in such a beautiful and powerful way that he needs to be shielded from it. Our passage starts with a really interesting dialogue between Moses and God. So I'm going to read it with you. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and I know you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Now, if you remember last week, Moses and Israel had just gone through a pretty big mistake. Last week, Jeff was talking about how Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments, and while that happened, the people of Israel, they started to panic, and they built this golden calf, and they started worshiping it, and they made an idol for themselves, which is actually breaking Commandments 1 and 2, which Moses was receiving at the exact same time. And there was almost destruction, and there's this crazy story that Jeff talked about last week. But I want you to know that this is the context for this, that when Moses is speaking to God here, he likely does not have a lot of confidence. It's more like, hey, Lord, don't forget about us, right? Remember we're your people. You know us by name, Lord, right? And so the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So God offers some reassurance to Moses, but he isn't totally convinced because this is what Moses says next. He says, "If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us away from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What's going to distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" So Moses is having like a second appeal or a second like looking for reassurance from God. I picture Moses actually very timid at this point coming out of such an awful story in Exodus chapter 32. And he says, "God, don't just go before us. Don't just send an angel, but God, we need you to be with us." And then in verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." God knows Moses by name. There's a special closeness and intimacy between Moses and God throughout Exodus. But today, I really want to remind us that today is actually not a story about Moses. For all Moses is maybe mentioned the most, this is actually a story about God, about Yahweh and his goodness and his beauty. And so after this, Moses actually makes a third appeal or request to God. And this is verse 18. This is going to be our primary verse for today. And then Moses said, "Now show me your glory. Show me your glory." I don't know how many of you, I know that our grads were not alive at this time, but like early 2000s, 2001 was, I think, the prime time of Christian rock music. It was the best. There were bands like Plank Eye and DC Talk, and one of my favorite bands was Third Day, and the lead singer of Third Day was a guy named Mac Powell, and he had this amazing song off of the 2001 release, their album Come Together, and it was called Show Me Your Glory. And when we were thinking about what songs to play today, Corey was like, maybe we should do Show Me Your Glory, but then he was like, that's from 2001, it's really old. But in case you're too young to know, and I know we have some of the grads in the room, it goes like this, it goes, "Show me your glory," just kind of like that, except Mac Powell does it way better, but Corey was intimidated and couldn't sing with that deep, raspy Mac Powell, Scott Stapp sound, so he skipped it. But guys, go back and listen to Christian music from 2001. That was the glory days. But anyway, that was a side note. You can't do a sermon called Show Me Your Glory without talking about that. So Moses makes this simple but very profound request of God, "Show me your glory." Now, I actually think that this is a very interesting request of Moses, because if you look at the story in the Bible from Adam up until now, no human being has probably experienced more of God's glory than Moses. Like maybe not since Adam and Eve had people dwelled with God the way Moses did. Matthew taught us last year in a sermon series about the Holy Spirit about a term called the Shekinah glory of God. And the Shekinah glory of God was where God would dwell and be among and be with his people. And Moses had experienced that Shekinah glory of God. He would meet with God in the tent of meetings, and he had seen God in the pillar and in the fire. And so Moses had experienced God. But Moses, the experience that he had actually left him wanting more, more of God's Shekinah glory. And I think it's interesting because I always think about it like a magic lamp where if like Aladdin with like the genie and like, what wishes can I grant you? And I feel like that if I was Moses and I was going to make a request or ask something very specific of God, I'd be like, God, when is this going to end? God, we're out here wandering in the desert. When is this going to be over? God, I'm a shepherd. I don't know how to lead a nation. God, teach me about leadership. I think that if it was me, I'd be asking questions like, when is the wilderness going to end? God, what's your plan? And I think for a lot of us, we can feel like that right now where we feel stuck and we feel like we're in this wilderness. God, when's the coronavirus going to end? When's life going to get back to normal? What is normal even going to look like when this is all done? But I think it's really interesting that Moses isn't asking for leadership training or a prophecy about the future. What he asks for God, and this is our text for today, is, Lord, show me your glory. I think that's so beautiful. Back in verse 19, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, Yahweh, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see my face and live. I love these verses. The very essence of God is mercy and compassion. He doesn't say when my body passes in front of you. He says when my goodness passes in front of you. Think about that for a second. Church, we follow a God. We serve a God that is inherently and categorically good. A God that is so good that we can trust his judgments, that we can trust his laws. We can trust everything that he does because his very essence is goodness. And his goodness is marked by two things that we read about here. You might have missed it, but what his goodness looks like, it looks like compassion and it looks like mercy. And so then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you may see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is such a beautiful image of Moses kind of standing or even hiding in the cleft of a rock, a place of protection because God's glory is too much for him to comprehend. He needs to stay hidden like a small child hiding behind their parent's leg when something's too scary or too much for them to take in. So God protects him with the cleft of the rock and with his hand. And in showing his glory is also merciful and compassionate to Moses. And he gets to get a glimpse of what God's glory looks like. Chapter 34 in verse 4 says, so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. This might seem like a verse that doesn't even fit in with our story about God's glory today, but actually a really big chunk, more than we're going to read today, of Exodus 34 is actually about Moses receiving the law from God. It's not just that Moses went up on a hill, saw God, and came down and was glowing and radiant. He actually spends time with the Lord receiving his law, receiving the covenant. And so Moses brings these tablets, and it's a reaffirmation of the covenant that the people broke in chapter 32 with the golden calf. And in a very simplistic terms, if you're an Old Testament nerd and you love everything about the Old Testament, you're going to hate this, but in a very simplistic view, The Old Testament covenant between God and his people was, if you follow Yahweh, that he will do good things to you and life will go well. You will be a blessing to the nations. Follow God and he will be your God. But if you disobey and you turn away, that things will go badly. There will be consequences. There will be punishments. And so that's a very simplistic view of what the old covenant that Moses received in this story is about. Now, teaser, we're going to come back to this a little bit later in the sermon because it's actually pretty important. In verse 5, it says, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord, Yahweh, and passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, Yahweh. Yahweh is compassionate and gracious God who is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion of sins. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation. And then Moses bowed down to the ground at once and worshiped. Something like a solar eclipse just happened to Moses. Something too great, too glorious, too powerful and beautiful for him to comprehend just passed in front of him. So God protects him and he covers him with his hand and hides him in the cleft of the rock, calling out his name, Yahweh. God's presence is both a blessing but also a danger to Moses because it's too much for him. This is hard for us to understand, and this can seem contradictory, but I think it's so cool that we follow a God that lives outside of our boxes, that is bigger than what we can comprehend. Moses had a special relationship that was marked by his desire to see more and more of God. The closer Moses got to Yahweh, the more of Yahweh he wanted. I'm so thankful that our God is like that. I hope you have friends. I have some friends and a couple that I can think of in particular that spend so much time with Jesus and they're both satisfied with Jesus yet yearning and longing for more all the time. And I think that that's what I want for me. I want to spend time with God but not leaving saying, okay, that's good. I've done my God time. Now it's on to other things. But that we follow a God that is so big that we can just be left wanting more and more while being satisfied in him. I hope that we can all surround ourselves with communities and friends that are like that, that challenge us to spend more time and that we see the radiance of God's glory in them. So as I was studying this text, I was like, so what did Moses actually see when God passes by and he looks at God's back? What did he actually see? And what it's described is not something that we would describe as something that we would look at visually. It says it looked like compassion, that it looked like mercy and grace, that it looked like abounding love and faithfulness, that the back of God actually looks like the forgiveness of sins. There's this beautiful mystery to God that lives outside of our boxes. So Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking, and he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, here's a really cool part of our story. So then when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, the covenant of the law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Now, again, remember that this isn't just him passing by or Moses seeing God pass by, but he's actually spending 40 days with God seeing or being given God's law, being given the covenant. So when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses and his face was radiant, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him and he gave him the commandments that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what had been commanded. They saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. This is amazing, you guys. One of my favorite parts of this text is that Moses doesn't even realize what's going on. He didn't decide to glow. He didn't put that on. It wasn't something that he chose to do. It was a natural result of him spending time with the Lord. But it totally freaked everyone else out. Aaron and all the people were too frightened to even approach Moses. So Moses put on this veil, a covering. It was their eclipse goggles. It was their special telescope and box to look at the solar eclipse. It was their hand covering the face of God, or their cleft in the rock where God was protecting them. You see, Moses received the law and the covenant. And when the people saw the law and the covenant, and they also saw the glory of God radiating off of Moses, they saw that they didn't measure up. They saw that for all it was a good and beautiful law, they knew that the glory of God was so much greater. The old covenant, the law that Moses received was good, but they realized that they needed protection in that, that God's goodness was too much for Israel. That the law shows our own inability to fulfill the law, that we fall short. Now, Paul picks up on this in the New Testament. And this is the first part of what Paul talks about is how he understands this story. And then the second part is what do we do now as Jesus followers? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, "The old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already failing away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings about condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all when compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the new way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever?" Paul has great sentences. There's a lot of glory in there. And Paul is saying that when God passed before Moses and Moses received that old law, it was glorious. But it wasn't in full. It was like they received a law, but it needed to be covered because it was too much. But now we have a new covenant, the fulfillment of the covenant, where that veil can be taken away. And Paul says there's no comparison. One covenant brought about death, but the new covenant brings about life through Jesus Christ. And now Paul tells us what this means for us. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We're not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade. But the people's minds were hardened to this day whenever the old covenant is being read. The same veils cover their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And the veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when the law of Moses is, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with a veil and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of us who've had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. This is great news. This is the gospel. Paul is telling us that what we have today in Jesus, that this new covenant is even so much greater than anything Moses ever witnessed. We no longer need a veil to look at God. We can look at the Son. We don't need goggles or a special barrier to see Jesus, to see what God looks like. The Shekinah dwelling glory of God actually lives in you and me, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Gives us freedom, and doesn't bring about death, but brings life. The Israelites asked Moses to wear a veil because the glory of God was too much for them to comprehend. They were afraid. They knew they didn't measure up. It's like a beautiful story that Moses was told, but they were waiting for the ending. And the ending is in Jesus. The Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit is here and now and wants to dwell in each one of us. And we don't have to go up a mountain to do it, but we're invited to, like Moses, pray, show me your glory. When COVID hit and we put everything online, we had to change how we did youth group. And one of the things that we did for a couple months is we did daily devotions on our Instagram account, because that's where we do things for youth group, on Instagram. And we had different students and leaders and staff do devotions each day. And one of our grade nine student, said in his daily devotion, he says, Jesus is the answer to every one of my problems. Every one of them, Jesus is the answer. And that phrase has really stuck to me since I heard that. Jesus is the answer for every one of our problems. And Jesus is the answer for us not measuring up to the Old Testament law, the Old Covenant. A beautiful covenant, but there was a veil over it because it was too much for us. We couldn't accomplish the law on our own. We needed someone to carry us through that. And the answer to that is Jesus. Jesus removes the veil, and we don't have to live with the law, with God's glory covered anymore. So my question is, where are you with your relationship with Jesus? Where are you today? Are you like the Israelites who feel like you're lost and wandering, and maybe you've just committed some heinous, horrible sin? Maybe you've built idols and you're worshiping other gods. Maybe you have other things in your life that have taken priority. Or maybe you're like Moses, and you've been meeting with God and you've been spending time with him. I believe the answer to our prayer, whether or not you fall into either of those camps, is the same. Show me your glory. God, show me your glory. Let's not get stuck. Let's not get stuck with where we are with God. Even Moses, who saw the Shekinah glory of God and met with God in the tent of meetings and saw the pillar, his desire was to know more of Yahweh, more of God. And in that, he both fell more and more in love with the glory of God, but also became a reflection of that. And so I would hope that our response, our first prayer, like Moses, wouldn't necessarily be for, Lord, what's happening next? God, when is COVID going to end? God, what am I supposed to do right now? But may our prayer be, Lord, show us your glory. We want to pray for justice in our world. We want to pray for equality. We want to pray for governments. We want to pray for our families. We want to pray for our governments and the economy. We want to pray for those things. But first and foremost, I believe we're called to pray to receive God's glory. Let's not get stuck in a box. Has your faith maybe become predictable or lazy through COVID? What has worship been like for you? What has your Bible reading been like? What has your church attendance been like? I think for a lot of us, we need to think about how we're doing worship, how we're spending time with the Lord through this season. Are we doing things that reflect God's glory in our lives, or have we become complacent with where we are with God? I think a lot of us maybe need to start thinking and praying about this home church thing. Do we need to get involved where we're worshiping together in a community with other believers again, even if it is in a small group? Do we need to maybe get out of our living rooms or out of our isolation and spend time with God's people again? So when was the last time you were challenged or surprised or moved by God? I challenge you to pray, Lord, show me your glory. Stand in the gap, stand in this wilderness, stand in this time of unknown, and say, Lord, show me your glory. Let's pray. God, we come before you today, and we know that there is so much more to you than we've experienced. God, we're thankful that there is no end to your goodness, that your name is marked by compassion and mercy, and that we don't have to live with a veil covering our eyes to see your glory, God. But may you show us your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.